Good morning and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Thankful that you're able to join us, and especially here on this Tuesday, the 4th of July, and hope that you, if you are celebrating today, maybe have a day off, you're able to enjoy spending some time with family and friends, and certainly hope that you're able to do so in comfort and safety and enjoy the great blessings that we have, at least here in the United States, and certainly also to encourage you to continue in prayer for our nation, who certainly could use some biblical principles to turn back to. But we're thankful for the opportunity to be together today and look back in the pages of God's Word and learn some lessons from history. And such an important theme that continues to run through the pages of the Bible is to look back at the things that previous generations have gone through, the things that previous generations have learned, and not lose those lessons. And that's a big part of what the psalmist is looking at even this morning in Psalm 78. And so if you have opportunity to be turning to the pages of your Old Testament, look there at the book of Psalms as we're going through that study at this particular time, and find yourselves in Psalm 78, and we will do our best to try to get through these 72 verses of that psalm this morning. And indeed, it looks back, and it is calling upon Israel to consider her history. Consider everything that the Lord has done for you. And there are, again, a number of these psalms that do this. They will go back and they will recount the things that God has done, oftentimes doing so as an encouragement to consider our relationship with God in that present day, and that we would continue to walk with Him. So great encouragement that is indeed needed for us even today. Let's begin by looking at the first 31 verses that begins this call to look back at the warnings from the past. First 31 verses. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, which we will not hide. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime he also led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, 'Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?' Behold, he struck the rock, so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God. They did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above. He opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food, and he sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them, and slew the stoutest of them, and struck down the choice men of Israel. Well, he begins there, of course, with this great history lesson, as we have mentioned there, this reminder of things that have been, and a reminder that they need to learn from these lessons of the past. We might go back and look there in verse 1 through 4, and we find there an appeal. The psalmist is asking them for a hearing. Will you come and will you sit, will you listen to these wonderful things of God? Things that we have heard, things that we have known, things that our fathers have told us, the things of the glorious deeds of the Lord, his works, his might, his wonders. And he stresses that he's going to teach these to the children, to the coming generation. And so, yes, will you give ear? Will you listen to these things? You know, that's an important principle there just in those first two words. Give ear. Give ear. Will you listen? You know, there is a lot of wisdom. There is a lot of learning that we gain by even turning to the pages of the Old Testament. Paul speaks of that, of course, in writing to the Christians at Rome, and he talks there in Romans chapter 10, verse that we often use in connection with our studies of the Old Testament, that we can go back and we can learn from those things that have been written. That if we would go back and hear, we would learn, that we would be able to gain from those things that have been said before. And so even still today, we need to learn those things that have gone before us. We need to be able to listen to those things that God has recorded for us, both in the pages of the Old and New Testaments, that we would learn from those histories of a people that have gone before us. I think there even of the Hebrew writer, as he is going to turn in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, and he goes back and he looks at this history, and he says, here is what Israel before had done, and they fell short. Don't do the same thing. Don't fall after those same principles. And so we're encouraged, would you keep on pressing forward? I misquoted myself a minute ago there, Romans 15 and verse 4, not 10 verse 14, but Romans 15 and verse 4, those things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Yes, even to these early New Testament Christians, Paul says we can go back and we can learn from the things that were written aforetime. We can learn from how God dealt with people. We can learn from those things that pleased God and from those things that displeased God. Today, we have the opportunity not only to look at the Old Testament, but those things that are recorded for us in the New Testament, and to see how God has dealt with his people. We can see how he was displeased with Ananias and Sapphira, and yet we can see how he was pleased with those who submitted in humble obedience to his will. And so we have great lessons that are contained there if we will stop, if we will listen. And so what a great lesson even for us today. Are we willing to look back and learn from the things of the past? Are we willing to learn from those things that have gone before? If not, as some have said, we are doomed to repeat them. And so they needed to learn even from these principles that are here before us. And so there's this appeal in those first four verses. Listen to these things. Do not hide them. Do not fail to pass them on. But tell the generation that is to come. of the praises of the Lord. Why is he worthy to be praised? Tell of his strength, his wonderful works. Tell us of everything that he has done. And we read here of a plan. We read of a plan here verse 5 through 8. And this is that plan where he is going back and showing God has made a plan for making known his will. He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel. And he commanded our fathers to teach their children this law. Why? Why were these principles to be passed on? Well, that the next generation might know them. And that they might be able to teach them to their children. That they might set their hope in God. That they might not forget his works. That they might keep his commandments. And that they might not be like their fathers. Not to be stubborn, not to be as they were, a stiff-necked people that often fought and strove with God. And so he is urging and encouraging them even to learn from these things. And of course, my mind there goes to Deuteronomy chapter 6. As we go back there, we're reminded that first and foremost, God is telling them, I want you to know my statutes, my commandments. I want you to know these things that I have set before you. But then once you have known them, then I want you to teach your children, beginning there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. I want you to teach them diligently as you sit down, as you rise up, when you walk by the way, when you lie down. In all of these times of the day, I want you to teach your children. I want you to bind them for a sign upon thine hand and to be as frontlets before thine eyes and to have them written upon the post of the house and upon thy gates. In other words, this was to be a part of their life. I want you to know these things. I want you to teach them. I want you to pass them on so that you do not forget the things that God has done for you and that your children will be able to tell of the wonderful things of God, and that their children will be able to know them as well, and that they will keep on being passed down through future generations. That's, again, a part of passing on history. It's not just that the upcoming generation has to listen. Refer back there to verse 1, that give ear. Are you going to listen? Are you going to learn? But it also falls upon that passing generation. What have you passed on? What have you instilled in the hearts of your children and your grandchildren? Have you taught them about God? Have you taught them about the wonderful things that he has done for us? Do we sit and marvel? You know, here he's encouraging them, you tell about the things that God has done for us in bringing us up out of Egypt and caring for us in the wilderness, and you let them know of these things that have come to pass. Well, how much more do we have to tell them? Yes, we have these wonderful accounts of the Old Testament, and tell them about God and his creation, and tell them about Noah and the flood, and tell them about Abraham and the great promises there, and tell them about Joseph, and tell them about God bringing his children up out of Egypt and establishing them in Canaan. Tell them about those things. Tell them about great men like David who set their heart to do God's will, and tell them of Daniel who in his courage and strength was faithful even when many others around him were not. You know, tell them those wonderful things, but tell them of the wonderful works of God in bringing his son into the earth, a son who lived and set that wonderful and perfect example before us, one who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Tell of the wonderful love that would send his son to the cross, that he would be willing to die for us. Tell them of the wonderful things that God has done and express to them why, indeed, God is worthy to be praised and why we should follow him with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Yes, we need to learn from the things of the past. We need to learn from history. And then he tells them, verse 9 through 20, he begins that historical section, if you will. He's telling them of things that had happened, things that had gone before. particularly here as he titles them as the Ephraimites. And he reminds them, here are people that turn back. They turn back when it was time to go to battle. When God wanted them to march forward and do his will, they weren't ready. They turned back in the day of battle. They refused to keep God's covenant. They forgot what God had done for them. You know, it's amazing to me. Here you have this first generation that has come out of Egypt, and they have seen, they saw firsthand the things that God did for them in Egypt. They saw firsthand the parting of the Red Sea and God leading them over on dry land. They saw firsthand God drowning the Egyptian army. They saw that God led them by the fire and the cloud. They saw that God provided for them even with water out of the rocks. And yet what did they do? They sinned more and more against God. They rebelled against him in the wilderness. They tested God in their hearts. They demanded food that they craved. And they questioned God's ability to provide what they demanded. They weren't satisfied with what God had done for them. It was always something more. Oh, we need water. God's provided you with water. Oh, we need food. Well, here is manna that God's going to provide for you daily. Well, yes, we have what we need, but not what we want. Where is some meat? Oh, how we would love some meat, but God can't provide that for us out here in the wilderness. Oh, you've seen all that God has done for you, and you still fall short of trusting in him. And so even so, God would provide them with that wonderful meal of providing for them quail. And yet I would propose to you, it seems they were not a thankful people, even when God had done that and his wrath was kindled against them. But all of that was because they ultimately did not trust God in their hearts. We see that in Hebrews chapter 3 again. It was because of unbelief that they would fall. Here the ones that had seen, here the ones that knew the best of what God could do were the ones that had the hardest time, it seems, in trusting in him. And so this history lesson is being repeated not simply to make an account of things that had come to pass, but as a reminder. We need to learn from the things that have gone before. We need to learn from how God has dealt with that previous generation. We need to learn how they dealt with God and how they fell because they refused to trust in him. We see their response again, verse 21 through 31. God now, because of how the people have treated him, God was full of wrath. Fire was going to be kindled against Israel, Jacob. His anger would go against Israel. He's angry because they had no faith in him. They did not trust his power. And yet notice what God's doing. Even in that anger, even in that frustration that he has with his people, he's blessing them. Even still, he'll open up the doors of heaven, give them manna. He'll give them an abundance of food. He'll give them the grain of heaven. With an abundance even of flesh to eat. You see, even as God would punish them for their sins, and punish them for their hardness of heart, and punish them because of how they have responded to him, nevertheless, he continues to show love and compassion. He continues to show mercy. This people that would whine and complain, this people that would rebel, nevertheless, God would continue to provide for them. He would continue to bless them. He would continue with his plan to fulfill his promises to Abraham to bring them into that land. There's God's love. And what about us today? Romans 5 and verse 8 through 10. That great reminder there that here is Jesus Christ that came not when he was indebted to us, not because he owed us something, but while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. Well, sometimes we look at Israel and wonder, how did God love them so? They didn't deserve it. we can look at ourselves and say how God loved us so, and we didn't deserve it. How many times have we been rebellious? How many times have we turned against Him? And yet He has continued to show us love, continued to show us compassion, that indeed we have been richly blessed if we will but look back in our history and see how God has dealt with us as well. And so there's that reminder. We need to be historical. We need to be looking back and consider all that God has done for us. He continues this now, and he'll say, let us continue looking. Psalm 78, verse 32, now through verse 55. As we go from Egypt to Canaan, God still being there for his people. Let's continue reading there, Psalm 78 and verse 32. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe his wonderful works. Therefore their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that he was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away, and he did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and the labor to the locust. And he destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague, and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, their first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely, so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He brought them to his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made their tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Here we have this next section. Here we consider what God had done for his people, and now we consider how he had brought them up with that mighty hand. He brought them up out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness, and now he has brought them and established them in Canaan. But he begins by again considering their sins, verse 32 through verse 43. Here he speaks of unbelief, verse 32. He speaks of their terror, verse 33. How they would repent, verse 34, but show hypocrisy, verse 35 through verse 37, because they were not wholeheartedly turned to God. And yet God showed compassion. He showed forgiveness, verse 38 and 39. And yet the people would continue in their sins on down through verse 43. They rebelled against him. They grieved him. They tested him. They provoked him. They forgot him. They forgot his power. They forgot their day of redemption. Wonderful verse in all of that. Verse 41. Again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Wonderful not in the fact of what it was, but in the sense of a charge. What could God have done with that nation? What could he have done with that people? Was he not ready to give them the land of Canaan? What could have been accomplished if they had walked with him? But they limited the Holy One of Israel in their unbelief, not because God was limited, but they held him back from all that could be. Well, friends, that's a powerful charge when I think about, are we limiting the Holy One of Israel in our unbelief, in our faithlessness? How much more could God do? How much more could he accomplish if, in one sense, we got out of his way? But really what I mean by that is, if we were wholeheartedly dedicated to God, ready to rise up and to serve him, ready to praise him, ready to go forth and do his work, and when it seems hard, when it seems impossible, when it seems a great task that lies before us, nevertheless to charge forward and say we're going to do the work of God. Instead of standing in unbelief, instead of trying to worry about all the things that could go wrong or why this isn't going to work or why that's not going to happen, to go forth and to do the work of God and not limit the Holy One of Israel, as had they. Yes, he highlights their sins and he reminds them of what they have forgotten, verse 44 through verse 51, those forgotten signs. Again, this first generation that fell in the wilderness were eyewitnesses to the things of which God had done. And now he's brought them up out of the fear, out of the terror of out of Egypt. And it's almost as we're still reminded how quickly you forgot. How quickly you forgot all that God had done. Turned their waters to blood. He sent swarms of flies and frogs to destroy. He destroyed their crops with those caterpillars, the fruit of their labor with a locust. He destroyed the vines with hail, the sycamores with frost, the cattle with the hail, the flocks with thunderbolts. And all of this, he was showing his fierceness, his wrath, his indignation upon them. He's destroying, sending these destroying angels, and of course, smiting the firstborn of Egypt. You've seen the power of God. You've seen all that he can do. You've seen all that he can accomplish. And yet you still lacked faith. You would still fall in the wilderness because of your unbelief. And you worried about going into Canaan because you were afraid that your little ones would fall, that you would be destroyed. And so ultimately God destroyed you, that first generation in Canaan. In the wilderness. And that next generation that you were so concerned and worried about, those are the ones that God would lead into that land and successfully establish them there. That's what he highlights in verse 52 through verse 55. He led his people forth like sheep. He guided them in the wilderness. He protected them. He destroyed their enemies and brought them into his holy land that he had chosen. He drove out the nations before him and settled his people in the land. He brought them forth so that Moses could remind them, in all the time you've been in the wilderness, God's provided for you. He's looked out for you. Your sandals haven't grown old. Your clothing hasn't waxed thin. You've had everything that you need. God had provided for you. And now he is fighting for you. He's driving out these nations, not because you're some great military might, but because God is fighting on your side. You are being successful. And he brought you into this land, and he established you, and he did these wonderful things for you, and he settled his people in this land. There's the wonderful blessings of God. He didn't destroy this nation. He didn't wipe them off the face of the earth. Yes, he destroyed that generation. But he brought their descendants in, and he kept his promises. And he established them in this wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey. Again, all of this to remind them, what has God done for you? This is what he's done in the past to bring you to this point in history. You know, that's one of the things that I look back and I consider the sadness of even this nation. Yes, we celebrate its independence. And then how often it is at times to watch the sad things that are happening in our nation that are leading us away from those great principles upon which we were founded. Because we don't look back at the lessons that could be learned from history. Because we forget why we came forth to establish a new nation, what the forefathers had in mind. And we march headlong even into our own destruction. That's what Israel would oftentimes do. They would forget the lessons of the past. They would want to march their own way, their own direction, not in a way that was good for them, but in the ways that they thought that they wanted, because they failed to learn by looking back, because they failed to be thankful for what God had done for them, because they forgot the power of God. Lessons that are always needed. Then we turn to the remainder of the psalm, Psalm 78, verse 56 through verse 72. We take us from the time of the judges up into the time of David. Psalm 78, 56 through 72. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious, and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He also gave his people over to the sword, and was and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lament. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies, and he put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph, and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, and from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Learn again from history. Will you learn how you were made great when you were faithful unto God and you followed after him? Will you learn how you were brought low when you dealt unfaithfully with God? Because first here you have that picture of wickedness, verse 56 through verse 58. Even after all that God had done for you, even after he blessed you so greatly, you failed to do that which God spoke about there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Remember these lessons. teach them to your generations that are to come, and remember that it is God that had established you in this land, and yet you entered into that land, and you did not wholeheartedly follow God. You failed to continue to remember these lessons. You failed to continue to be a thankful people, and so you tested God. You rebelled against him. You didn't observe his testimonies. You turned away from him. You acted treacherously, even like your fathers that were before you, like that generation that fell in the wilderness. You refused to trust in God, and so you became even involved in idolatry. Haven't you learned anything from what God taught you in that first generation that came up out of Egypt? God took the blessings that could have been theirs away from them and gave them to the next generation. And yet when you were faithful to him, he brought you into that land. He established you, and yet how quickly you turned away from him. That period of the time of the judges, he would give you over into captivity. He would give you over to be ruled by other people until you would cry out, and then God would send a deliverer, a judge, to deliver you out of that oppression. But then how quickly you fell once again after you flourished. This perpetual cycle of turning back to idolatry, turning back and being like the nations that were around you. And so because of your wickedness, in verse 59 through verse 64, we read about the wrath of God, who would reject Israel, who would forsake his dwelling in Shiloh, to allow even here the Ark of the Covenant to be captured, and would give his people over to the sword. Hear all of those things that you trusted in. All of those things that were to be a great representation of God being with you. Would you learn how those blessings could dry up? Would you learn how that great glory could be removed from Israel? Because of your choices, because of your actions, because you decided not to continue faithfully in following God. But where was God? He was still with his people. He allowed those things to happen. He allowed you to be delivered into those captivities and those times of trials. He allowed those things to happen unto you, to wake you up, to cause you to return unto him. And when you would turn unto him, he was ready to spring back into action and to fight for his people. He had not gone to sleep, but the psalmist does describe him there in verse 65 through verse 66 as one who is awakening from a sleep, who is coming forth like a strong man, and he's going to give great deliverance unto his people. He hadn't forgotten you. He hadn't turned away from you, but he allowed these things to happen, and yet he was quick and he was ready to spring back into action and to deliver his people when his people would turn back to him. Again, what a continual reminder there through the book of Judges, how often we turn from him, but just as often as we turn from him, he was ready to buy us back. He was ready to redeem us. He was ready to restore them once again to where they had been and to bring them forth. And so we see choices that are made by God in verse 67 through verse 72. There were things that he rejected, the tent of Joseph, the tribe of Ephraim, but he would choose the tribe of Judah and Mount Zion that he loved. He would choose David, taking him from the sheepfold, making him the shepherd of Jacob and of Israel. And he, David, would tend God's people. Hear this little shepherd boy who had learned to trust in God, who had learned to set his heart on following God. No, he wasn't a sinless, perfect individual. But he is a man who was described as a man after God's own heart. He was going to be risen up to be this king, this shepherd over God's people. As I look back over this psalm, I'm seeing here this reminder of how important history really is. Why has God recorded these things for us, that we might learn from them, that we might be reminded of them? I think about even Peter, as he is writing in his epistles, and he's going to remind them, you need to know these things. And I know that you know them in your heart, but I'm going to keep on writing them to you because you need to know them. Even as I someday will be removed from you, nevertheless, I'm going to keep on reminding you. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 and following, yes, I think it right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter says, one day I'm going to pass away, but I want you to remember these things. I want you to learn them. I want them to be instilled within you. So even Peter cared about looking back and reminding us of things that we ought to know, probably do know. Isn't that what the psalmist is doing? Let's take a look back at our history. Let's see what God has done for us. Let's see how he has blessed us. And having looked back, having considered those things, let us then go on in faithfulness. I don't know when this particular psalm was penned or written, but I can look here and I can see God wanting to remind his people. Think of where you started. You started as not even being a people. And I showed love and compassion and mercy upon you. I brought you forth out of Egypt. I led you through the wilderness. I established you and brought you into Canaan. Even as through the wilderness you rebelled against me, even as once you were established in the land, you continued to be a rebellious and a stiff-necked people. Nevertheless, through all of those things, I showed love and mercy and compassion. I showed long-suffering with you. And as you would turn back to me, I would establish you, learn those lessons. Now I've raised up David over you to be a shepherd of the people, to lead you in those ways that are right. Remember all that I have done for you. And what's the point of looking back at all of those things if it's not to learn a lesson of how to move forward, how to go into the future as a faithful people of God? I don't want to be like that first generation that came forth out of Egypt. I don't want to be like those people that would turn away from God during the period of the judges. I want to be like those who would cry out to God and say, we will follow after you. Please send us a deliverer. Make us great again. And to continue then with a determination to think, I don't want to return to that place. I don't want to go back to where we were. Again, I think about 2 Peter and that great reminder there that we have come forth out of something. And I don't want to dwell on the past. I don't want to look longingly back at where I have come from. But I do want to remember where the Lord has brought me from. As the song says, remind me where you brought me from and where I could have been. I think there of 2 Peter 2, verse 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. What a reminder for us. Think of where God has brought you from. You were lost, you were dead in trespasses and sins, but now you're made alive, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. I don't want to go back to where I was. And so just as the psalmist is calling upon Israel, remember what God has done for you. Remember how he has treated people of the past, dealt righteously with them, so that he punishes the wicked and he rewards the righteous. Remember those things. And as you do, remember to live the righteous life. Can we not learn the same lesson? How wonderfully God deals with his people. But what a hopelessness there is for those that are outside of Christ. And to know assuredly, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to dwell outside of Christ ever again. I don't want to go back to the hopelessness. I don't want to go back to a place where my sins are no longer washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want to return to the eating of that vomit, the filth that I have escaped. I don't want to return to that wallowing in the mire as the sow who's washed. But to be reminded where I came from, what God has done for us, and so have a determination now. I want to walk faithfully with him as I look toward, as I move toward the future. History is a powerful teacher. And so the psalmist here in Psalm 78 gets historical. He says, will you listen? Will you give heed? Lend me your ear. Let's talk about things that have been in the past. And having looked back to the past, let us march toward the future with a greater determination, a greater resolve. I want to be the people of God. I want to be faithful unto him. And I want the confidence to know that as I walk with him, he will always be with me. That's what I see when I look in the history of God's people. That's what I see so oftentimes through these psalms. We talked about that a little even yesterday. There is a confidence that God's people can have in him when they turn to him in faith. And so here we have these great lessons that are before us with a challenge. What will you do with the lessons that have been taught? Will they change your life? Will they send you forth with a greater determination to do right? Will they cause you to have a greater determination to teach your children? Don't turn from where we're at. Don't go backward. You keep going forward. You keep pressing on toward the mark. You keep walking with God, or he will turn from you. Remind them, teach them, encourage them, and set an example for them. That ought to be the great encouragement even to us. I thank you for joining us today. I'm glad that we could look together back at this psalm of great history, hopefully learn some lessons both out of what the psalmist was recording for the people of his day, but also to look and remind us there are some wonderful and great lessons there that are contained even for us today, if we will learn from them, if we would grow by them, if we would apply them to our lives. And so what a great and wonderful teacher, not just God's Word, but God's Word looking back at this history. And I hope that you are able to join us even tomorrow. We will continue in our march through the Psalms as we study through the Old Testament. And Lord willing, tomorrow Chip will be with us in the studio. Be looking at Psalm 79 through Psalm 81. And so I hope you have opportunity to look forward over those verses. Be ready to join us and look at them tomorrow. And certainly continue listening here on the Gospel Radio Network, even maybe as you go about the activities of your day. We have up next with us According to the Scriptures with Kyle Webb, Into God's Word with Jack McNeil, Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy, all coming up this morning. Great lessons from the Tolstar Archives coming up this afternoon. And so a great schedule before us today. Hope that you will take opportunity to listen in, to join us on those occasions. And as always, I thank you for joining us, and I hope that you have a great day.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.